Hi, Josh.
Hi, Mandy. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Living the dream.
It is starting to get warm out there. It's summertime.
As we're recording this, the school year has just ended. For me, the end of the school year is always a time of reflection. I think every year I've worked in schools, I've always had students that have completely defied my expectations.
I had a student, I thought, I didn't know you had it in you. And then I thought, why did I not know that? It seems like maybe I needed to look at myself a little bit in the mirror.
I think we all have that. Recently, I interviewed a few school staff and asked them to share their stories of their students.
That is great. What did they say?
Let's hear them tell their stories.
This is Josh.
This is Mandy, and you're listening to the Oregon Transition Podcast.
Brought to you by the TTAN, the Transition Technical Assistance Network, and partners across the state.
From rural to urban, from your living room to your classroom, from your community to your employer, we are here to tell the stories that shift the perception of what is impossible to possible through inspiration, education, and community connection.
Oregon, this is your story. Welcome to the Oregon Transition Podcast, Season 5.
When I look at the work that I've done with students over all these years, sure, I have stories, singular stories of implicit bias or me having low expectations or watching somebody have low expectations for them. My general feeling when I think about this with the student population of students with barriers and with a variety of abilities, I think of the growth that I had in my mind over time. Like I didn't have high expectations. And the more that students defied my expectations, the more I started shifting my mindset. And when I think back on that, I wonder how much of my lowered expectations were from my own fear of failure more than my belief that they couldn't succeed. And why did they have to prove that they could do it before I started to believe? And that's the piece that I look back on and think about implicit bias and wonder if, like, all of us should be thinking, why are we thinking this way when we're working with these students? Is it within us that the barriers are in place, or is it really within the students?
I have a student who challenged the way I was thinking about what's possible. His name was Matthew, and he was not someone who spoke a lot or spoke often. However, Matthew really wanted to go to work. He wanted to participate in an internship site that we had that required riding public transportation. He would say to me, I want to go. I want to go. Every time this pair of students was going to an internship site that was at a senior living center. And so step one was learning to ride public transportation, which for a student with limited use of his words and was not known for actively asking questions or asking for help, this made me and everyone else very nervous and uncomfortable. So I talked to his mom, and she agreed to get him a cell phone. So then we had to practice how to use the cell phone. And we had a lot of role-playing activities that we would do with everyone before they rode the bus about what do you do if you are in an emergency? Who are the people you ask for help? Matthew practiced those things, but it's very different to practice it in a classroom than practice it on the public bus system in Portland, Oregon. So anyway, after lots of conversations with his mother, and I have to tell you, I felt a lot more comfort in putting Matthew on the bus, knowing that she was aware and she said to me, it's okay, let's do this. And so we did. And one day I see on my phone, Matthew's phone number, which of course sends up all sorts of alarm bells because I can tell you, Matthew has never called me. And I hear Matthew going, the bus, the bus. And I said, oh, what's wrong with the bus? And he, it takes him a while. It felt like an eternity to get the words out, but he said, broken. Oh, the bus, is the bus broken? Yes. Matthew, do you need help? Yes, I need help. Okay, can you tell me where you are? He could not tell me where he is, but then I said, can you give the phone to the bus driver? Matthew, go over to the bus driver and give him your phone and tell him, remember, you tell him, I need help. And I could hear him on the phone, like shuffling, and he went over to that bus driver and he said, I need help. And that bus driver was able to tell me where he was, and we were able to go and pick him up, and everything went according to plan because we practiced and this is what he wanted. And I, in that moment, I was like, I underestimated you. Of course you can do this. Of course you can do this. And I also was a reminder to myself and to his mother that we are also doing what we're supposed to do. Like, we've practiced this. We've given you the tools. And then it's our responsibility to let you go out into the world and practice what we've taught you how to do, that you've asked us to teach you how to do. I think about him for a lot of reasons over the years, because in his own quiet way, he continues to motivate me to allow students to take risks and go and do the things that they want to do.
I had a student a few years back who came to me from a small town wanting to access more resources in a bigger town, Springfield. She came to me, lots of goals, had so many skills already, but wanted to really work on honing in on those skills, especially the work and independent living skills. This young lady ended up making so many great choices, got into supported living, got into her own apartment, lived independently, kept running into the barrier of being told she could only work 5 hours a week at max because of the Social Security working issue that there's a misnomer regarding, and people thinking that you can only work a few hours a week. And so we spent a couple years really trying to help her understand that she could work. She worked really hard to become her own payee because she really kept running into barriers with people telling her in her life that she couldn't work more than 5 hours, but she wanted to. It took some time. It took some getting connections with the right folks, such as her job developer agency and whatnot, to really help her out. But in the long run, she ended up still living on her own for many years, earning her driver's license, buying a car, and working a solid 15 to 20 hours per week. And she's still doing that years later. And it just took persistence on her part, persistence on advocates' part, and ultimately it ended up working out beautifully for her.
We had a student come in and he had complex communication and creative communication needs. He doesn't use words to communicate. And his mom kept telling us that he communicates with them at home a lot using a keyboard. This is a keyboard that is not connected to a speech generating device. It's just a keyboard. And she kept telling us he would indicate words with letters, and that once you knew his code, that they were having all kinds of conversations at home. I told Josh this earlier. I just want to say up front, we're really good at our job. We really care, really try to work with our students. So we'll just keep that as an assumption. And we really wanted to communicate with this student. We weren't seeing him use the keyboard. And he was indicating to us that he didn't want to use the keyboard with it. So we really ditched the keyboard and we went to giving choices with hands, like, do you want to go on a walk or do you want to go to art? And we were doing pretty well with him that way and really thought we were broaching his capacity for communication by giving him these options. And his mom kept advocating for him and saying, you know, you're really missing out if you don't encourage him to use the keyboard. And here are some suggestions for getting over the hump. So we did start persisting a little more with his preferred staff. He started communicating a little more with the keyboard. And then mom came back and said, you know, with his behaviors and his communication needs, he's underestimated so frequently. And he never has a time where his communication isn't filtered through an adult. And yeah, I'm glad you're using the keyboard now more, but you know, I wonder what would happen if you gave him a time to just get things off his mind. Like if you gave a designated time to him to say, you can say whatever you want, pretty much unfiltered. And so, okay, we did that. And we gave this student a time to go in a room with closed doors so he could use pretty much any language that he wanted to. And we didn't have to worry about other students hearing what he was saying. Just put him with his preferred staff and said, okay, what's on your mind? What would you like to talk about today? The student was typing on the keyboard and his staff's jaw just dropped because the student who we'd been giving two choices, do you want to do this or that? The student started asking about the role of religion in society. I'm pausing for dramatic effect because it was that dramatic. Honest to goodness, that's what the student wanted to talk about. To me, it's just really opened my eyes about how even really well-intentioned, like we really were trying to communicate with this student, even with that in our hearts and in our background, we were dramatically limiting how we were listening to this student and how we were offering options to this student by the way that we were communicating with him. It's changed my approach to communication with all of my students.
One of the things that I often will think about too is if I have a student that has one of those jobs that I deemed unrealistic, that I said, there's no way you're going to be a vet. And when I stop and think about that and think, what if we do go down that pathway? What if we go, okay, let's do it. Let's go down the pathway of helping you become a vet. What is the worst thing that can happen if we go down that road? That's my wondering.
Those were incredible stories with those students. Oh my goodness, how amazing.
It is amazing what students can do when they're given the opportunity.
They know. They know what they can do. And with the tools, the world is their oyster. So now who are these incredible people telling these stories?
I would like to thank Chris Rita, who's the Transition Network Facilitator in Clackamas, Hood River, Wasco, Sherman, and Gillum counties. Sarah Statham, who's the Transition Network Facilitator in Multnomah, Columbia, Washington, and Clatsop counties. Sally Mann, who is a teacher in the Springfield Community Transition Program in Springfield School District. And Angie Falk, who is a teacher in the WINGS program in Corvallis School District. Thank you for sharing your stories.
Thank you very much. And with that, we are off to our summer break.
Looking forward to hearing your stories this summer, especially those students who are participating in the RFA Summer Work Program.
Have a great summer, everybody.
Peace out, Pod People. Hello, Pod People. Mandy and I have a very important announcement.
As you may know, or you may not know, VR is in a moment of change. We are taking the opportunity to look at all of our systems and make them bigger, better, and stronger. But with that moment of change, this podcast has decided to take a momentary pause.
Like the Grateful Dead in 1975, where they did not play shows, we are going to take a hiatus until we understand these new systems. And when we do understand these new systems, we will reorganize the podcast and we will come back. But this will be our last podcast for a little bit.
So from myself, Josh, Jody, and the Podfather himself, Lon, we say enjoy your fall and you'll be hearing from us soon.
Peace out, Pod People.
The Oregon Transition Podcast is brought to you by the TTAN, the Transition Technical Assistance Network, with the support from Vocational Rehabilitation and Oregon Department of Education.
All views and opinions expressed in the podcast are those of the individual, not the supporting agencies.
The Oregon Transition Podcast is produced by
Mandy Younger,
Josh Barber,
Jody Johnson,
and the Podfather,
Lon Thornburg.
Additional interviews are brought to you by the members of the TTAN.
Our theme music was composed by former student Boone Richter out of Brownsville, Oregon.
Additional music provided by Lon Thornburg.
For additional questions, comments, or suggestions, please email us at OregonTransitionPodcast@gmail.com.
For the latest OTP news, connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.